Hey everyone, you're listening to a message from Pastor Matt Erickson for our special Serve Sunday service. Be sure to check out the study guide for this week's message at eastbrook.org/sermons.
Let me just pray for us as we now enter some time in light of that around God's word, around this topic of service. Father, thank you that you are a God who is powerful and holy, magnificent, and also a God who is close to us, full of truth, full of grace, a God with a love that is both incredibly expansive and also a love that is very personal. And I pray, Lord, as we spend time now in the scripture together, that you would graciously open the scripture and Spirit do that thing that only you can do, which is to make the word of God come alive in us in incredibly personal ways. As you're doing all that work, Lord, my prayer is that you would enable me to decrease, to fade to the background so that you would increase, Lord, and be the center of this time that we gather together. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Father, triune God, be glorified, we pray. Amen. Well, this past week, I had the privilege of traveling to the Middle East to visit some of our friends and ministry partners, and I am so grateful for the prayers of the church, for the support of the church to be able to do that, grateful for the church council and the staff and their support that enables me to travel like this. And so I bring hearty greetings back from the Middle East from our friend Melody, who teaches English there. And I also bring hearty greetings from a church we've had a relationship with since the 90s, Second Circle Alliance Church, pastored by Yusuf and Lydia Hashway there in Amman, Jordan. And many other people ask me, please bring greetings back, bring greetings back. And so I do that. Really grateful. It's a wonderful trip. Very smooth in all the travels, no difficulties by God's grace. So thank you for your support and your prayers, and receive these greetings from those friends and church partners. A Sunday ago, I was with the church there in Amman, and after the service, as they often do, the Hashway family, who I affectionately call the Christian Mafia of Jordan, they invited people over. They have a family meal after Sunday services, and the family gathers together, rotates amongst homes, and then they also have guests that they invite to be part of that. So there was a number of us, not just me and Kelly and Grace from Eastbrook, but many people from different parts of the world who were there greeted into the family. And after the food is spread out across the serving tables, and it's many tables, this is not a real picture of that lunch, this is just to represent that. It was way more food than that. Guests are invited to serve their plates, fill their plates first. And then once the guests have filled their plates and found a place to sit, then the family spreads out. And so the serving tables become eating tables, and the couches and the outdoor patio, everything is filled up. There were a ton of people there. And we eat a lot of food at those gatherings. I've been there several times. A lot of food. So if you clean your plate, you are immediately invited to go back and get more food. And if you say, no, I'm full, they'll just keep looking at you until you go back. And if you clean your plate a second time, may the Lord have mercy on you, you will be asked to go back and get more food. So you have to understand some of what's going on there. They want to be good hosts, and rich conversation fills the space between all the people who are gathered around. And after the food is done and you thought the meal was over, then there are huge platters of fruit that are brought out. And then after the fruit is taken away, huge platters of sweets and coffee and tea to replace the mint lemonade that you had had too many glasses of before. And when I'm visiting, Pastor Yusuf Hashway will ask me a question. He has a little abbreviation he uses. It's a silly joke. And he will look at me and he will say this, T-T-T, and those three T's stand for this, tummy touching table. And if your tummy is touching the table, if you've eaten that much food, then you know the meal is nearing conclusion. although it hasn't arrived yet, all through the meal, which just carries on with so much love. The Hashway family, not just the women, the men too, are serving and making sure your plates are filled and bringing out more hummus and making sure that you have enough tea and coffee. Everybody is just serving endlessly. They take away empty glasses of one thing and bring out more things. There is something I noticed about this time that I was there. You're wondering, you're thinking, so you went and just ate a bunch of food. Thank you for sending me. I hope I'm not making you jealous. Something I noticed was the sense that I had, and I could notice it in the other guests who were there, just being incredibly loved as the family serves you. You don't feel like a guest. You feel like you're part of the family. And the other thing I noticed was as the family is serving, there's just a ton of joy on their face. Little jokes, little comments, just joy on their faces as they serve us as well. And that topic of service, both the love that it brings to people and also the joy of service, is part of what I want to explore today on this Serve Sunday. What we're calling Serve Sunday is a chance for us to talk about that experience of love and joy and service, kind of jump off from the Gospel of John for a little extended focus on service in the church and what that means for us at Eastbrook. And if you have your Bibles, I'd love it if you'd turn with me to John chapter 1, which I know is where we have been. I'm going to jump around in a few different passages, so don't get disoriented. You may want to look at the sermon outline. Hopefully, I'll stick with it. But I want to begin by just getting our attention on Jesus in a passage that we're going to continue to focus in on, but I think it becomes a good leaping off point. John chapter 1, verses 12 through 14. Where we read this description of Jesus. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of a human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Friends, when we get our eyes on Jesus, we realize that there's many things that Jesus is doing, but one of the incredible acts of service that Jesus does is Jesus makes us members of the household of God, members of the family of God. We become daughters and sons through Christ of the living God. And every time I hear this passage, I'm reminded of a friend from another part of the world who had come to follow Jesus out of a Muslim background. And he said one of the great breakthroughs in his understanding of what Jesus had done came when he realized that in Jesus Christ, we are not just slaves of God, we are actually children of God. God doesn't just ask things of us to get us to do things. We are actually given a new identity, a new place of belonging, a new experience of love, an inheritance in Jesus Christ. We're given not just a place to belong, not a second class seat at the back of the room or the back of the bus. No, we are actually invited into the family as daughters and sons of the Most High God. We experience the love of God in Jesus Christ that now makes us part of the family. And when I sat around that table in Amman, Jordan after services last Sunday, and I noticed all that was happening and I paid attention to the way that people were serving, I have to say again, I just felt like I belonged as a part of the family. Questions that were asked of me, because I've been there several times, were not just questions about, you know, how do you like Jordan? It was things about my family. There was storytelling. There was laughter. There was just an experience of honor and love that came in that moment. And I ask this question, in light of what Jesus has done to make us part of the family of God, how much greater is the honor than just an ordinary, lovely family experience like I had last Sunday? How much more is the honor and the love that we experience of becoming part of the family of God through Jesus Christ? This is a tremendous gift that Jesus has won. This is what he has worked for us. And it also helps us realize what a great cost there is for that reality to come about. It says in Matthew chapter 20, verse 28, maybe you've heard this verse before, the Son of Man did not come, Jesus is talking about himself, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. That means that we have been bought by Jesus' life at the cross, he has won us back from the land of evil and darkness, from the domain of sin, the domain of brokenness, and he has laid claim to us. He has said, this one is mine, and he has brought us into God's family. We're going to celebrate what he's done at the communion table a little bit later to reflect on that great cost, but pause for a moment and wonder with me at the immense gift that has been given to us in Christ. He did not hold on to his power and his glory, his dignity and his standing, but he stripped it off, it says in Philippians 2, and became a servant who went all the way to the cross on our behalf that we might be brought back to God. Here is a wonder of wonders. The Messiah has served us and made us part of the family. The triune God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, it said theologically, live in what the Greek word is perichoresis, an eternal dance of self-giving love. And it's out of that self-giving love that we are actually brought into the family of God, into a place of belonging because God serves us. God cannot hold God's self back from serving us. First, we experience the divine love amongst us as we receive Christ's gracious service by faith. And second, we remember that it wasn't because Jesus had to that he went to the cross, but it says in Hebrews 12, it was for the joy set before him that he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and when the work was complete, sat down at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. Jesus has great delight and joy in serving us. And we experience the love of God in just tremendous ways. That's where we start when we talk about serving. Now, I want to invite you to consider a scene with me because when we were in the Middle East, we had an opportunity with Melody and a couple of her students to have a dinner at a Yemeni restaurant. And so we went up into the restaurant, up to the second floor, and I'm trying to figure out how to help you visualize this. But imagine if there was a booth that had no seats, and it kind of went from floor to ceiling and was almost like a private room with a little space, you know, at the top. This is where we ate our dinner. We were going to sit on the cushions on the floor together. And so when you go into that sort of dining area, you stop before walking in and you take off your shoes, and there's a place where you can place your shoes. And then everybody sort of spreads out, sitting cross-legged or reclining in that little booth, so to speak. We ordered the food. We shared the meal together. We told stories. We laughed a lot. Everybody's on equal ground there as we shared the meal together. It's a beautiful experience. I want you to picture another setting with me that holds some similarity to that. It's another meal that does take place on an upper level of a dwelling. The participants also take off their foot gear when they gather for the meal, and they also recline on cushions together as they partake of the meal. And then something really strange happens in the middle of this meal. Maybe you're realizing that I'm talking about Jesus in the upper room with his disciples. Listen to this from John chapter 13, verses 3-5, where we hear this unfold. It says, Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. And after he poured water into a basin, he began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Now, this was shocking. Jesus was Lord. He was their teacher. He was the leader of the group, if you want to use that kind of language. And everybody knew that this was a job that was beneath Jesus. This was almost like it should not be allowed. And this is why just a little bit later when Peter has Jesus come to him to wash his feet, Peter says, you're never going to wash my feet, because this is actually demeaning to Jesus. And it's shameful for Peter to let Jesus do this. And when Jesus keeps pressing, Peter says, if I don't do this, you don't have any part of me. Then Peter's like, well, just give me a whole bath then, because if I need to be clean, I want the whole thing. It's disorienting to Peter and the disciples what's happening, because this is not Jesus' role. And yet he is showing them something. It had been like if we're at this Yemeni restaurant, and if one of the honored guests or perhaps the oldest person there or the most important person suddenly said, you know, I'm going to be cleaning up everything now. So if you could all bring everything to me, I'm going to take it downstairs to the kitchen. I'm going to wash everything here at the restaurant. I'm going to pay for the meal, and then I'm going to bring you tea. I'm going to tell you, that would never be okay. We already had a huge argument about who was paying the bill that night. Everybody would say, no, no, that cannot happen. And then Jesus is, what he's doing here in John chapter 13 in that upper room gathering and the washing of the feet, it's like he's, this might sound like a violent image, it's like he's taking a hammer to the imagination of the disciples and breaking it open and then crawling inside that space to show them something they didn't know was a possibility, that the Messiah who was sent from God actually would become the one who serves everybody. Verses 13 or 12 through 17, we read this. When he'd finished washing their feet, Jesus put on his clothes, returned to his place. Do you understand what I've done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. I've set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. We're invited by Jesus. The disciples are invited by Jesus to enter into a way of service that reflects something totally shocking. Jesus comes into an upside-down world, and so he has to break open the imagination of the disciples and us to see that leadership, that power, that authority are handled in an utterly different way in the economy of God than they are in the world in which we live. And this doesn't just mean that we literally go around washing each other's feet, although that might sometimes help us get our imagination broken open. But it does mean the kind of things that I see regularly within our church community. I see adults giving of their time and talents throughout the year to serve our kids with what I heard was an amazing kids musical last Friday. I just told Andrea I couldn't be there because I was in Jordan, but my mom was there and I heard all about it and I heard it was amazing. It means kids are serving on Sunday morning in classes of kids younger than them, helping these kids encounter Jesus at an early age. It means gardeners and greeters and food stockers on Monday nights and Saturday mornings are helping people in food crisis find dignity and help and belonging at the food pantry. In fact, the Kiskunises before the 8 a.m. service were walking in saying they just had stopped by the garden to see how the frost had impacted the kale. It means musicians are gathering midweek with others to help prepare and then preparing in their own time so that when we gather on Sunday morning, we are brought into the presence of God who is waiting here for us, even as we're waiting here for him. It means tutors meet up at the International Community Center on the south side to care for immigrants and refugees who've been displaced for their home and are finding their way in language and in culture with the helping hand of people who love them. I mean, adult friends are walking alongside of students on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights and Sunday mornings, and sometimes literally walking alongside of students on week-long wilderness trips in wild places, helping them to encounter the wild and wondrous grace of God. It means there's people that have got here early to literally set the table for us so that when we come to communion, we have the elements ready or we can get a cup of coffee, as I saw Mary hoisting carafes early before the services even started. The list could go on and on of all the ways within the life of the church that so many people are serving. And can I just ask us to do something that feels a little weird? Can we just give a round of applause to everybody who's serving for all their generosity and all the ways that they're doing something? This is part of what it means to be the body of Christ. And Jesus says that the motivation for this is a mutual self-giving love that we see from the very heart of God in him. And later on in John 13, after all that happened with the washing of the feet, Jesus says this, a new command I leave you or I give to you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples. Check that. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. This is not just love in the abstraction. This is love right into the cradling of someone else's foot in your hands and making it clean. We don't serve because we have to. Jesus says we serve because we get to. We don't serve to prove our worth, but as an overflow of the worth that God has breathed into us in creation and redemption. We don't serve to look better than others, but to help others see the way that God looks at them. And I think again of my experience of gathering around the table at the Hoshway home last Sunday. I remember that love that I experienced and the joy that I saw on the faces of the family. It was an amazing experience. That's a snapshot of what Jesus is initiating the early disciples and us into, a different kind of community that is walking with each other. It's so beautiful. Now, there are times when I've started to hear messages like this that I start to get really uncomfortable because I think the preacher is about to lay something on me. And I think about all the needs I encounter in my life, all the opportunities to serve and the ways I feel like I can't meet all those needs. And one of the great gifts of Scripture is that the picture we get of service helps us understand how this is a together thing. It's not just about us. Paul the Apostle uses a picture that's become so common to us that we almost don't see it anymore. It's a picture of the body, that we as the church, individual churches, small groups, the global body of Christ, we are a body of Christ. I want to read from 1 Corinthians 12, beginning in verse 4. There's a lot here, and you may have heard this before, but it's just, I wish we could just hear this afresh for the very first time, as if we were in Corinth reading Paul's letter out loud the first time it had ever been written. And this is what he says in verse 4. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it's the same God at work. It's all the triune God behind it all. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. Just as a body, though one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, this is so helpful for us because the way that we serve in response to Jesus and what he's done is we serve together as a community. I want to emphasize that again. Our service reflects Jesus together. That word is really important. Now, there are some of us here today who need to be reminded of a key truth of the life with God, and it's this. The Christian life is about growing to become more like Jesus, but not one of us individually is Jesus, okay? The Christian life is about growing to become more like Jesus, but not any one of us individually is Jesus. And that is a great relief in a message like this. There's only one Messiah. And in case you haven't figured it out, not one of us is the Messiah. There's only one, his name is Jesus. And so because of that, it sets us free from having to be Messiah Jesus in every opportunity and need. We cannot handle that emotionally, physically, mentally. I'll even go so far as to say spiritually, it's not what's being asked of us. That's the work of the Messiah Jesus. And then we as a community manifest Jesus' life by the power of the Spirit together, stepping towards those needs and opportunities. We're given giftings for service, each and every one of us, so that together, for the good of all, we may move as one to reflect Jesus. Does that make sense? We're not the Messiah. Now, there are others of us here today who need to hear something that might seem like it's at the other end of the spectrum. And it's this great truth that each and every one of us has a unique gifting of service that we offer within the church for God's glory. Each and every one of us have a gifting of service that we offer within the church for God's glory. There's no one here who can look in the mirror and say, God's not given me something. I'm really not that important. You're important enough to be saved by Christ. And the Spirit is pouring things out in your life, in my life. And that's the Spirit's work. And he's done it in you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and everybody. And so we get an opportunity. Even if we don't think we have anything, that's not true. God has given us something so that we too might step forward and experience the joy of letting other people experience the love of Christ through us. And so like a human body, using our different giftings, each and every one of us, we move together to manifest and reflect what Christ has done, growing to be like Jesus individually and communally. Then we move forward in service, both individually and communally, so that the joy of Jesus and the love of Jesus might be manifested in and through our lives. That's an amazing thing. It's a body moving together. So in your imagination, just go back with me for a minute to that table in Amman, Jordan, where all these folks are gathered together in the Hoshway's home. So much joy. The guests experiencing so much love. I wish you could have hear with me the laughter. I can hear it still. The storytelling shared, the questions that are asked, the songs that sometimes erupted, the time of prayer over a one couple who was returning to a very difficult place of ministry that we gather to pray over him. And that is a snapshot of what it means to move forward as a community in the life of service for the glory of Jesus. And so today I would like to get a little bit more practical, and I want to invite you to consider three things with me. And the first one is this, that if you are here at Eastbrook and you have never stepped forward to serve in some way inside or out or through the church outside, I want to exhort you. That's a very biblical word. I want to exhort you to step forward to serve, not out of shame, but as a response to Jesus opening a new room in our imagination. I want you to discover that actually getting beyond ourselves is one of the places that we encounter the love and the joy of Jesus. And here's why. Jesus is not only with us, he's ahead of us in the places where we served. Maybe you remember the story of Mother Teresa who cared for the lepers in India. She said that she loved caring for the lepers because when she was with them, she saw the face of Jesus. This is not just a metaphor. This is actually the power of Jesus ahead of us in the places where we will serve. Inside of your bulletin today, you're gonna see a little card that says Serve Sunday. Could you pull that out with me for just a second? And if you're online, you'll have to find this on the website. You're gonna see here, according to ministry areas, a lot of first serve opportunities. And what I'd like to ask us to do as a community today, if you're not engaged in serving somewhere, is to look at these first serve opportunities and actually complete this card. You'll see it's two-sided. And to take it after the service out into the main lobby, and you'll see we have kind of a ministry fair by ministry area. And if you've marked a box that you're interested in, to go and talk with that ministry booth and find out a little bit more about it. I would love for that whole team out there to be utterly overwhelmed by y'all after the service. They would love it, I think. Now, when you complete this, you are not signing your life away. The staff is not gonna be saying, ooh, like, now I've got you. No, this is a conversation. But I do want to invite you into this opportunity to explore a first serve step of service. That's the first thing I want to put in front of you. And if you just need to give attention to that, you can ignore the other things I'm about to say. Here's the second thing. For some of us, we are already engaged in service. But I want to encourage you, or maybe I'll exhort you, into a next step of service. When I was a church planter before being here at Eastbrook, helped plant a church out in Mukwonago called Brook Life Church. And one of the areas that I was overseeing was Sunday morning setup and takedown. Nobody wants to do this. I'm going to be honest. We were working into an elementary school. I learned how to back up trailers behind pickup trucks like no other. Like it's a skill I have now. Did not have that before this. And I had a whole group that I had to pull in, and it was utterly overwhelming because not only was I doing that, I was also like leading worship every Sunday and then preaching one Sunday a month. And I was in charge of small groups. This is what happens in church plant situations. I was the executive pastor. I was in charge of all the accounting. I mean, I'm an English major. Help me, Lord. Anyway, there's this couple, Chad and Sarah, who observed me freaking out, I think, every Sunday morning. And one time Sarah came up and said, "Do you need help?" I said, "I need more help than you understand." And she said, "We would like as a couple to become not just helping you with set up and takedown, we like to just be in charge of this area so you just don't have to think about it." I think I broke down in tears right then. Here's what was amazing, and this is part of what I want to get you to think about, is if you're involved in, as a Sunday school helper or teacher, maybe it's an opportunity to step up and to be kind of a coach for teachers, or maybe you're a small group leader, and it's an opportunity to be a coach for other small group leaders through that. Chad and Sarah were part of the setup and takedown team. Chad would drive the trucks with me, and then they said, "We're just taking over the whole volunteer area. We're going to be kind of your team leaders for this." Some of us, whether it's in a Sunday morning class with students or adults or something that's happening with student ministry or something else, we've served for a long time, and it might be an opportunity to take a next step of service in a new way. That's one way to think about a next step. And the other way is this, if that's a little overwhelming, is just to see the people around us who may have a gifting and a calling that nobody has named before. I came to Christ, really, it became alive for me when I was 16, and 2 years later, I was asked by a couple, Jeff and Sue, to help them lead music at a summer camp. It was the same summer camp that I'd had my life-changing experience of Christ. And I said to them, "What does lead music mean?" They're like, "Well, you play piano. You could like help us out for the week doing this." I was freaked out. I was 18 years old. I didn't know anything that they were asking me to do. And they're just like, "Just follow our lead." They invited me into that. And it was just a little bit after that that somebody said to me, "Have you ever thought about being a pastor?" I'm going to say something to you. I'm pretty confident, although I believe God is powerful, and I could misunderstand this, that if Jeff and Sue hadn't invited me in, I might not be standing here right now. They saw something in me that I didn't see in myself. They named it, and they said, "Just be with us and let us help you learn how to do that." Who are the people that God has put in our sphere of influence that we might see gifting, we might see an ability, we might see a heart in that they don't see in themselves, and we just say, "I see this in you. Would you just come right alongside of me and enter the journey of serving for the glory of the Lord?" I think in those three ways, a first step, a next step by taking some more leadership, or a next step by inviting someone in who doesn't see this, I believe that as we do this thing, we will experience the joy of Jesus working through us and the love of Christ being poured into people's life. And it reminds me of two sentences that we've already read from our Savior that I want to read again. John chapter 13, verse 35. "By this," Jesus says, "everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." A love that works itself out in tangible ways. And then he said this in John 13, verse 17, a little earlier, "Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." That's the beauty of stepping forward with and in and alongside of Jesus, our servant King. Amen? Let me pray for us. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you have done for us. And I just ask that in this time, without guilt or shame, you would move in each one of us to see the joy and the love that's there for us in service. For we pray it in your name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message from Pastor Matt Erickson. We welcome you to join us for our weekend worship services at 8, 9:30, and 11 a.m. For more information, please visit eastbrook.org.